Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. On this special day, we're going to honor the unsung heroes, the fathers. You know what an honor it is. What a privilege it is to be a dad. It's one of the highest callings in the land. It's one of the greatest responsibilities that a man could ever take on. So today is your day, dad or stepdad or big brother dad or granddad or uncle dad, whoever you are, right? Amen. We celebrate. Let's give a big hand of applause to every guy that ain't a deadbeat dad. Amen. Come on. Thank God. I just clap my hands and I let a big shout out for all the men who do love their kids and do take their responsibilities seriously. Thank you, Dad. I also want to, before I start my message, I want to give a shout out to every single mom who's doing double duty, trying to raise her kids by herself. Amen. We celebrated you on Mother's Day, but I also want to acknowledge you today and say thank you for not quitting and for doing what you do. And I'm just going to slide this in. I said it in the first service. If you're a single mom and you find yourself in that position, one of the smartest, one of the greatest things you can ever do is make sure you keep your kids in the church. Come on, keep them in the church. Get them in children's ministry. Get them in youth ministry. Get them around, if there's not a man in their life, get them around godly men. Come on, somebody. Get them around godly men. We'll talk about that. It'll make a difference. It'll make a difference. Men and dads, God has a significant plan for your life and for the role that you play, not only in your children, but for your entire family, for your church, for your community, for the entire world around you. And here's something else I know. Being a dad is not a job for the faint of heart. Amen. The most rewarding job that a man can have also comes with a price. And sometimes men do get discouraged in the process. Sometimes we have to hang up our Superman cape and we become Clark Kent. And a lot of times men with our responsibilities, they lose sight of the big picture. They forget that you're playing the long game, guys. Amen. It's the long game. And we lose sight sometimes, and sometimes men will even lose their hope and they lose sight of their dreams. I want to talk about that today. Sometimes men feel lost in the job of trying to be a dad or trying to be the provider for their families. There's a passage in the Bible where Prophet Jeremiah had a word of encouragement for the Jewish people who had been exiled into Babylon. They were living in a situation. It was scary. It was a situation they didn't bring on themselves. It seemed hopeless. It seemed pretty daunting. And here's what the Lord said to them, and it's what I want to say to every dad here today or every person in the room or that's watching online who maybe you feel like you're living in a little bit of exile today. And it's Jeremiah 29:11, and the Lord is saying to the people, I know the plans I have for you. Come on. Declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Come on, somebody. God has a plan. He has a purpose. He has plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And it is in that context that I want to preach to you today, men. Don't stop dreaming. Don't stop dreaming. Rodney asked me this week if we should make the theme song, Don't Stop Believing, amen. Don't stop, or even dream on, dream on, dream on. No, no, no. We're not going to do that today. But I want to tell you, don't stop dreaming. Don't stop dreaming dreams that are bigger than you are. Don't stop dreaming dreams that require God in your life to make them come to pass. Hallelujah. Don't quit just because it gets tough. I want to tell every man, dare to dream dreams that your family can be successful. Dare to dream dreams that your life can make an impact. Dare to dream dreams that you will be victorious. Amen. Men, don't stop dreaming. Every great thing that has ever happened began because somebody dared to dream. See, all of us are familiar with one of the greatest speeches ever given, the I Have a Dream speech given by Dr. Martin Luther King. It was back in August of 1963. His partners in the March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom included other religious leaders, labor leaders, political leaders, organizers. The masses of people who were assembled there that day, they marched down the Washington Mall from the Washington Monument all the way to the Lincoln Memorial. They heard songs that day from Bob Dylan. They heard speeches from people like actor Charlton Heston or NAACP President Roy Wilkins, future U.S. Representative from Georgia John Lewis. Dr. King's appearance was to be the last one of the event. His closing speech was going to be carried live on all of the major TV networks, all three of them. But that was a big deal. On the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, King gave his speech, I Have a Dream speech. And it was in that speech he said a lot of powerful things, but I want to share just one excerpt from it. And he said this: when the architects of our republic wrote the magnificent words of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, they were signing a promissory note to which every American was to fall heir. This note was a promise that all men, yes, black men as well as white men, would be guaranteed the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You see, it was a man with a dream that was credited with mobilizing supporters of desegregation, and his actions helped to bring about the 1964 Civil Rights Act. The very next year, Dr. King was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. Martin Luther King was not a perfect man. Our society loves to reminisce and talk about the flaws of our heroes. And we know Dr. King was not a perfect man. Nobody is. But he was a man with a dream who gave himself to that dream. And we continue to tell his story today, 60 years later, because of the impact that was made by a man who would not stop dreaming of a better tomorrow. What about you here this morning, men of God? Do you dare to dream? Or do you dare to dream again? Are you willing to resurrect old dreams? And do you have the audacity to think that with the help of God, those things can still come to pass in your life? Hallelujah. See, I'm here to encourage some men today. I want you to get a dream, or I want you to get reacquainted with your old dreams. Dreams of maybe starting your own business or going to college. Or maybe if you're single, it's dreams of marrying a godly spouse or raising godly children. Do some of you dare to dream of pastoring a church one day, or being a missionary, or being a youth pastor, or being a godly politician who can change the course of our nation? We need those, amen? What about owning your own home or providing a comfortable living for your family? What is your dream? Do you have a dream? How do you get a dream? How do I get not only the American dream, which is shaped around prosperity and blessing, but the kind of dream that God wants me to have for my life? See, we've all heard it. Your dreams determine your destiny. We shape our dreams, and then they shape us. All of the great people around us are really just ordinary people who are committed to great dreams, and they then become shaped by those dreams. When you commit yourself to a dream, it draws something out of you. Amen? It helps you become larger than you would have become any other way. Because God uses our dreams and our hopes to direct us, to shape us, and to define us. So your dreams not only determine your destiny, but they also determine your dignity. How you feel about yourself. And if you don't have a dream for your life right now, you might feel like you're just existing, which is why I want to encourage you today. Don't stop dreaming. See, sometimes we ask questions like, what am I here for? Why did I get up this morning? Or why do I go to work every day? What's the purpose of my life beyond this daily grind? But when you get God's dream for your life and you begin to fulfill the plan for which he made you, then that's when you begin to find true fulfillment in life. See, nothing is more important after you come to know Jesus Christ for yourself than to get God's dream, his vision, his purpose for your life. It's the reason you exist. See, when you don't have it, we just tend to drift through life. It's only when you discover why God made you and what he wants you to do with your life that it really all begins to make sense. Amen? Amen. Again, from Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Amen. It's a positive plan and it's a personal plan that God has for our lives. So how do I get God's dream for my life? How do I rekindle flames of dreams that might have died? Dreams that you might have had when you were a young man or when you were single or before you got married. Dreams that have kind of gotten snuffed out with all the activity of life. How do I resurrect hope if I've been living for a while in the land of exile? I want us to use the word dream today as an acronym, and let me share with you some points with you on how to renew or how to get a dream for your life. Are you ready? The first letter from the word dream is D, and here's what I want to tell you. The first thing you got to do to see God's dream come to pass in your life, you've got to dedicate yourself completely to God. It starts with a man fully committed to God. Come on, you got to be willing to go all in for Jesus and do whatever it is that God wants you to do. It starts with a woman that is fully committed to God and says that nothing else is more important than my walk with Christ. Here's a great life verse to live by, Matthew 6:33. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Seek God. Live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. The Apostle Paul said it this way in Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. That's living righteously, and that is your true and proper worship. See, guys, if we commit ourselves, if we dedicate ourselves, if we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, the Bible says that's true worship. This is the key to unlocking God's dream for your life. How do you discover it? The scripture says present yourself. Offer yourself. Dedicate yourself. Your time, your talent, your treasure, your relationships, your past, your present, your future. Because if you don't do this, you're never going to truly discover and unlock God's dreams for your life. And the next part of truly presenting yourself is found in verse 2 of Romans 12. He said, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And then, everybody say then. Then you will learn to know God's will for you. And look what his will looks like. Good, pleasing, perfect. Man, who does not want good, pleasing, and perfect? But it starts by, the scripture says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Now, I wonder, why did Paul throw that in there? I'm going to tell you why. Because most people miss God's will because we're not looking at God, we're looking at everybody else. Amen. Right? We're looking at every other model, every other plan, every other scheme, every other idea. Amen. Every other way to get some. No, he says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Amen. We want to be like everybody else. Folks, can I just tell you something? Don't get hung up with trying to fit in. The most liberating day of your life is when you realize, I don't care what other people think about me anymore. Come on, hallelujah. Amen. I don't got to get likes or shares or these fake friends that you find on social media. Amen. Don't seek your affirmation that way. Don't get hung up on that. Don't get stuck trying to do things the way the world does them. Folks, that does not lead to God's best for your life. These two verses say that once you commit yourself to God and then separate yourself from the world, you will learn God's will for your life. And it ties right into what Jesus said in Matthew 6:33. Seek God first, live righteously, then you get the stuff that you want, right? Paul said, what? Commit yourself to God. Don't copy the behavior of the world. There it is. Seek God, live righteously. Commit and separate. See, now I know this sounds challenging, but I'm talking about men who are dedicated completely to God. Not just words who say, well, Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and I'm just going to do what I want to do. Now, I'm talking about when you're fully committed to God, when you're fully dedicated to God, it's a two-pronged equation. You got to commit yourself to God, but you've also got to separate yourself. Come on, you got to separate yourself from the world. Here's what else Paul said, Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. Strip off every weight, get rid of the sin that trips us up, run the race that God has set before us. That's what the dedicated life looks like. We got to focus on getting rid of all the excess baggage, and we all have excess baggage. Every weight and sin that ensnares us. There may be some habit or addiction or pattern of behavior that have become self-sabotaging weights that are pulling you down. Those are the things you got to lay aside. There may be faulty thinking. Some people always see themselves as the victim or the outcast or as defeated. You got to lay aside that kind of thinking. Amen. There might be relationships or friendships that are pulling you down. I'm going to talk about that in a minute because they have goals that are counter to what God has for your life. Lay those people down. Folks, you can't always please the crowd and God at the same time. Now, I'm going to tell you, I really like it when those two things do come together. But it doesn't always happen that way. Dedicate your life to God. See, we all get to make our own plans about how we live our lives, but it's only through God that we got the power and energy to actually see real transformation happen. The Message paraphrase of Proverbs 16:9 said it this way. We plan the way we want to live, but only God makes us able to live it. Only God. See, there's a lot of things I can do in my life that keep me from the best, from what God really wants me to do. So the first thing is dedicate yourself completely to God. Another way to keep your dream alive and to stop dreaming is the next letter, R. Reserve time with God. I know this sounds simple. I'm not trying to dazzle you with a real complicated, fancy sermon today. You have to spend time with God. Come on, if you want to know Him, if you want to follow His leading, if you want His hand of blessing on your life, you got to spend time with God. See, when I was a kid, we used to sing a song in Sunday school, and it went like this. And if you know it, why don't you sing it with me? I'm going to see how many of your old schoolers are in the house. Read your Bible and pray every day. Pray every day. Pray every day. Yeah. Read your Bible and pray every day, and you'll... There it is. Man, a whole lot more of y'all went to Sunday school than the 9 o'clock crowd, I'm going to tell you right now. Simple song, amazing life strategy. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. Reserve space for God if you want to succeed in your dreams and in your goals. You got to speak to God, but you also got to find time to be quiet in order to hear God speak to you. Amen. How many busy people, how many noisy people, how many people have a hard time quieting your life? I'm one of those people. I go nuts if it's quiet. I have to sleep with a sound machine. I've been doing it ever since I was a kid. If you put me in a room of silence, this is how I sleep. I kid you, I'm telling you right now. Thank God for the noise apps that you can put on your cell phones, amen. Because if I forget my sound machine and I'm traveling, I got my phone over there. You know, it's hard to be quiet. It's hard to settle down. But sometimes you got to get quiet in order for God to speak to you. Amen? That might mean turning off the TV. It might be turning off the phone. It might just be getting alone with him for a while. And see, hear me, God. It's not that God never speaks to us. It's that for some of us, we haven't gotten quiet long enough to hear. Amen? And here, now I can't say for you, but here's what I know. In my life, I've learned that if I don't get quiet, God's going to get me quiet. He will allow something that will capture my attention, and I'll say, okay, Lord, I'm listening now. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Pascal, who was a famous philosopher, mathematician, he said this, most of man's problems come from his inability to sit still. Job, in Job 37, 14, said this. Listen to this. O Job, stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. I'm told that when I was a kid, I could never sit still. I've got two daughters, and my younger daughter, Lindsay, she's on the front row wiggling around even as I speak. My daughter, Lindsay, could never sit still. She always had, Robin and I used to say she had the wiggles. And you know, sometimes as adults, we have the spiritual wiggles, yeah. Right? If stuff ain't happening, we just get anxious, we get wiggling around. We can't sit still and be quiet because it seems that God's not moving quickly enough. But you know, think about it. Isn't seeing God's dream for your life come to pass worth a few minutes of time every day? I'm talking about reserving a space for God. Talk to God. Listen to God through prayer. Let God talk to you through the Bible. Let God speak to you through music, godly edifying music. Let God speak to you through nature, amen? Just relax, think, ponder, slow down, set some goals, worship. Men, I'm going to challenge you right now. Cry. I don't cry. You need to cry. You need to cry. Now, I'm not suggesting have a meltdown at work, right? I don't recommend that. Amen. But be honest with God. Speak your fears. Sometimes you need to rejoice. Clap. Be that guy at the traffic light. That sometimes, y'all ever seen him? You drive up to the traffic light and somebody's over there and they're just like, woo! I love those people. Sometimes I honk my horn. I want to get their attention and just go, get time with God. Make bold requests. Reserve time with God to talk about your schedule. Set your priorities. Ask God to help you with your financial planning or your career. God, what direction do you want my feet headed in? What do you want from me today? What do you want me to speak today? Who do you want me to speak to? See, God will speak and direct people who take the time to listen. And hear me, men, don't let church on Sunday be the one time a week that you connect with God. Come on. You need to do it on the regular, amen? Some people call it quiet time or devotion. Some people call it prayer. I just call it time with God. And you can talk to God throughout the day. Quick words or praise, amen, prayer. Talk to God, but let him talk to you. Tune into his voice. Be aware, give him a chance. You know, I think sometimes God wants to talk to us, but his calls go straight to voicemail. Now this is not spiritual. I'm gonna share a hack with you. I don't know why it took me so long to learn this, but a few weeks ago I found out that I could set my phone to where if a phone number is not in my contact list and somebody calls me, that I can set it to where it doesn't even ring and it goes straight to voicemail. God have mercy. You talk about changing a brother's life. Woo! Because I'm going to tell you right now, you don't have to agree. If you ain't in my contact list, I do not have to answer that phone. Amen. And if you don't leave me a voicemail, I definitely ain't trying to call you back. Amen. But you know what happens? I think sometimes God is trying to get our attention. But we're so busy that it's just like, bam, just goes straight to voicemail. Reserve time with God. I'm not saying you got to pray all day. I'm not saying you got to pray for an hour. I'm not saying you got to pray the same way every day. Just spend time with God. Man, it will change your life. Amen. All right, I got to hurry. Here's E. Evaluate your abilities. Now, this might not seem very spiritual, but if you want to see your dreams come to pass, it will help if you honestly and introspectively take a look at what you're good at or what you feel passionate about. Why? Think about this. Why would God give you certain gifts or talents or desires or passions and not use them? That would be a waste. God doesn't operate that way. Ask yourself, what am I good at? What do I love to do? What is my passion? If you're not sure, what is it that people affirm about you in your life? Oh, you're such a good listener, or you're such a good counselor. You work so hard. You're so faithful. You're so friendly. God's put things in us. They're hardwired into our DNA, and he wants to use them for his glory. Evaluate your abilities. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. God has made us what we are. In Christ Jesus, God made us, and now he tells you why, to do good works, which God planned in advance for us to live our lives doing. Well, I used to do this. No. To live our lives doing. God made us what we are in order to do good works, and he planned it in advance for us. Other versions say it this way. We are God's handiwork. That word for God's handiwork in the Greek is the word poema. And it literally, it's where we get the word poem. You are God's poem. You're God's art piece. Amen. You're his masterpiece. You are unique and there's nobody like you. You did not come off the assembly line. Amen. But hear me. There's more to life than just being unique. You've got to be unique and effective. Amen. I don't care how cool you are, unique you are. What are you doing with your life? Amen. There's more to life than just being unique. He designed you to do good things. Amen. Even before you were born, God pre-designed a role for your life. He said, I'm going to make this person. I'm going to give them certain gifts, certain abilities, certain desires. I'm going to allow them to go through certain experiences. Some of them are good. Some of them are painful. Some of them you're going to go through multiple times. He said, I'm going to bring all these things together because I'm doing something in the world that will take him to do. I'm doing something in the world that only Josh Lemons can do, that only Jordan Pavey can do. Come on. And he brings all these pieces together and makes us who we are. And that's why many of us, why we've gone through a lot of what we've gone through. Now, disclaimer, some of us have gone through some things because we were just being stupid. How many of you will raise your hand and say, some of this stuff wasn't God's fault, it was my fault. Come on, I was being a knucklehead, I was being rebellious, I was being a smart aleck, I was being a know-it-all. Can anybody that's honest in the house? Come on, I see some of y'all holding up two hands and a foot, amen. Come on, see, it's not a dumb mistake unless you don't learn from it. Amen. I've learned only dumb people don't learn from dumb mistakes. Right? But if you don't use those experiences for what God intended, you miss the point. See, one day, hear me, we're all going to stand before God, and he's going to say, what did you do with what I gave you? Well, Lord, I was scared, so I buried it in the sand. Wrong answer. Well, Lord, I know you made me a starter, but I was too scared, so I just would live my life as a bench warmer. Wrong answer. Amen. Lord, I know you gifted me to do such and such, but I was afraid what people would think. Wrong answer. Lord, I know you called me to be a participator, but I was just an observer. You called me to be a leader, but I was just a follower. You called me to be the head, but I was content to live as the tail. See, that's not the right answer. Evaluate your gifts and abilities, your strengths, your weaknesses, because God's got a work for you to do. Folks, hear me. It's a message that we're never going to stop saying in this church. You are saved to serve. Amen. You're saved to serve, to use your talents and your gifts, to not only help yourself, but to help other people. Fulfillment is not a dollar amount in your bank account. It's not how many square footage or bedrooms or bathrooms you have in your house. That's not success. It's not achieving the American dream. Fulfillment is doing what God called you to do. It is. 1 Peter 4 and 10 says this. Look at this verse. It's so powerful. How do we, I don't know how we ignore this, Rodney. How do people ignore this and just sit on the pine? Look at this verse. Each of you has been blessed with one of God's many wonderful gifts. That's the what. Here's the why. To be used in the service of others. And here's the how. So use your gift well. What, why, and how? All in one verse. Each of you, you've been blessed with a gift. Use it in service of others and use it well. Use it well. This says God is done. God, and I'm telling you, there's no greater fulfillment than using that gift well. The Bible says to those who have, more will be given. Now that's not, that's counterintuitive, right? That flies in the face of our equal opportunity for everyone mindset. No, that's not what the scripture says. You know why? The Bible says that he gives to those that use the gift. Look at the parable of the talents. Finally, at the end, he said, hey, take that guy. He ain't doing nothing with his stuff. Give it to the guy who is doing stuff with his stuff. Here's what I've learned. I can't speak for your life, but I know in me, sometimes I don't get two blessings until I've used the one that God's given me. And hear me, folks, you're never too young to get God's dream for your life. You're never too old to get God's dream for your life. The Bible said your young men shall dream dreams, your old men shall have visions. Amen. God has a dream for your life, and we're committed to helping you to discover that. So D, R, E, here's the A. Associate with the right people. Pint-sized counselor told me in between services, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Amen. Amen. That's what we call her. Folks, hear me. Hang out with people who are also trying to discover God's dream for their life. Hang out with people who want to succeed. Hang out with people who want a good marriage, not guys who are trying to cheat on their wives. Come on. Hang out with people who want to please God with their choices. Hang out with people who want to live responsibly. Don't hang out with the ones who want to pull you down or pull you back into the path of your old destructive habits. Associate with the right people. There's a saying that I just became familiar with the last few years, and I finally found out who said it. And I'm 100% a believer in this saying because I've seen it played out over and over again, not only in the lives of others, but even in my own life as well. Here it is. Are you ready? You might want to write this down. You are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. You are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. Now, it's been attributed to motivational speaker and author Jim Rohn. The idea behind this quote is that our social circle, our inner circle, significantly influences our behavior, our habits. They've even done tests on this. It affects your income, the people you hang out with. It's true. You are who you associate with on a regular basis. Many, many years ago, I preached a sermon called, If You Lie With Dogs, You Get Fleas. And it's true. You are who you associate with. But Rome wasn't the originator of this idea. Listen to what Proverbs 13 and 20 says. Walk with the wise, excuse me. In Jesus' name. I'm doing pretty good today. Walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. Look at that same verse from the Contemporary English Version. Wise friends make you wise, but you hurt yourself by going around with fools. Hear me. There is no such thing as a neutral friend. your friend. They are pulling you one way or the other. There's no such thing as a neutral friend. They pull you one way or the other. You are who you hang around with. You are who you associate with on a regular basis. Amen. You'd better choose the people that are closest to you carefully. I've seen too many people miss God's dream because they're hanging around with knuckleheads. Right? Because they got friends that don't have any interest in their choices to honor God. If the people around, hear me, I'm just going to say it, and you need to, if the people around you, and I want to especially talk to you young people, if they do not support your decision to go to church, or your decision to not party anymore, or they don't understand why you give your time and your talent and your treasure to the kingdom of God, you need to change your inner circle. Change it. Amen. You can still love them, but you got to love them from a distance. Amen. If you want to fly with the eagles, you got to quit hanging around with the turkeys. Amen. Because you are who you associate with. Amen. Come on. And can I, and that's why it's so important to be an active part of a church family. Oh, I love Jesus. I'm going to fly solo though. I don't need a church. Yes, you do. You got to have the right people around you. That's why you need to be in a small group. That's why you need to serve on a ministry team, a dream team. Because here's what I've learned. A crowd cannot support you, but a small group can. Amen. A crowd's not going to get you over the finish line. It's going to be that inner circle that's going to get you there. Be around the kind of people you want to be like and the kind of people you want your kids to be like. Amen. Amen. You need people around you who are wanting God's best for your life and for theirs as well. Amen. Stop hanging around with the gossips. Stop hanging around with the negative Nellies. Stop hanging around with the people that are trying to pull you down or trying to always talk bad about the church or the preacher or the Sunday school teacher. Come on. You don't need those kind of people in your life. Stop hanging around the people that want you to go to the club, that want you to drink, that want you to party, that want to pull you back. You don't need that influence in your life. Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens or dulls another. If you want God's dream for your life, hang around with people who are saying, I want to do whatever God wants me to do too. Amen. Here's my last point, M. And I wish M came before A. And I'm going to tell you why. M, you got to make it known. Make your dream known. In other words, say it out loud. Make it public. Isn't that arrogance? No, it's not. It's faith. It's accountability. It's, I want to attract other dreamers into my dream. You know, I didn't say this in the first service. Where's Sarah Dunford? I don't want to embarrass you. Stand up, Sarah. You know what Sarah did 2 years ago? She made her dream loud. She made it known. And Sarah, if you would have sat on that dream, guess what? You'd still be sitting on that dream. But instead, now we have Millie's home right next door. By the way, I haven't even told y'all this. Bought and paid for. There's no mortgage on Millie's home. Amen? Because of your giving and your sacrifice. Before, I got to tell you, I cannot overstate the importance of this. You got to tell people what your dream is. Statements of faith. Move God. Speak life. Amen. And you know what else it does? It motivates other people to come around your dream. People you can learn from. People who can help you. People who can be resources. People who can teach you. You say, well, I want to be a good dad. Tell it to some good dads. And invite them into your life. to give advice or to help you navigate the way. I want to start a business. Say it around some business people. Come on. Say it around some entrepreneurs and let them help show you the way. I want to make money. I want to learn to save. I want to get out of debt. Talk to some people that know how to handle their financial business. Come on. Join a small group. We've got financial small groups. We can help you. It's God's plan for you to not have to live in debt your whole life. You say, man, I'm scared to say it out loud. Don't be afraid to say it out loud. Here's how dream works. Are you ready? You sense it, you say it, and eventually you see it. You sense it, you say it, and eventually you'll see it. Amen? What am I mean? You got to visualize the dream first. You got to feel it. You got to know it from God. Then you verbalize that dream. You say, this is what I believe God wants me to do in my life. Martin Luther, the original one, not the one I just talked about. Martin Luther, the original Martin Luther, the German theologian from the 1500s. You know what his dream was? He dared to dream of a day when common people could hear and understand the message of the Bible instead of only the priest being able to read it to them. You need to go back and look at this. Nobody had Bibles. Nobody understood the scripture. Only the priests would read it to them. And sometimes they wouldn't give them the scripture correctly. And before he died, though, millions of people were able to have a Bible in their own language to read and study for themselves. You know why? Because he wasn't afraid to make his dream known. And then people came around him to make that dream come to pass. Some folks say, don't share your dreams. There's too many dream killers out there. There are. You know what you do? You got to tune out the dream killers. There's people that are going to be bitter at your dream because they don't have a dream. Or they're jealous of your dream. You got to tune those people out. Don't waste time with those people. Make it known to people of faith and to other dreamers. Because if you dare to dream, never think that God, and by the way, God's not just going to drop it in your lap. You got to work for it. You got to have some skin in the game. You got to roll up your sleeves, amen? You got to sweat. You got to strain for it. But quickly, and praise team, come on up. Here's three quick reasons why you need to make your dream known. You ready? Number one, it gets you started. I didn't give them these points. It gets you started. There's no more procrastination. Now you've announced it. You're accountable to try, and you got to get moving. Amen. Can I just tell you the truth? I think I've said this before. There's been a lot of times in my life that I've said things out loud and even put a date on it. You know why? Just to get my rear in gear. Just to put a little fire under my own feet and say, I've got to quit entertaining all the fears and all the objections and all the what ifs. And I just need to say this out loud so we can get moving on this thing. And so God can bring some dreamers and some equippers and some people around it to make it come to pass. It gets you started. Secondly, when you make it known, it attracts other dreamers. The moment you state a God-inspired dream, other people want to get in on it. Again, I don't want to embarrass Sarah, but I remember when Pastor Jim came from IMUS. Y'all remember when Jim was here last year? Pastor Jim, and he shared the IMUS story. And some of you don't know this, but that's when Sarah came up and she talked to Jim about her dream for Millie's home. And he encouraged her to go for it and share it and make it public. And sometimes you just got to get around other dreamers. The moment you state your dream, other people are going to want to get in on it. Amen? A dream from God will attract people you don't even know yet that will help it come to pass. Because hear me, if it's a God dream, somebody else is dreaming it too. And here's the third thing, and I believe this with all of my heart. When you make it known, it releases God's power. God, this is another whole sermon, but God responds to faith. Faith is the currency of the Spirit. Faith is what moves things into motion. Faith. And when you step out in faith, you're stepping out of the boat and you're starting to walk on water. And I believe God will come along and hold you up. God loves it when we speak declarations out in faith and we dream God-sized dreams. I want you to stand with me all over this house. Oh, I feel such a release of the Holy Spirit here today. Amen. I told the first service, I felt led to preach this a couple months ago, just very randomly, just right out of the blue. God just said, on Father's Day, I want you to challenge the men to dream again. And that's it. That's all. That's what he planted. And then I knew, okay. And this, and he told me why. And this may not hit the whole audience, but I'm reaching for a few of you right now. You know who you are. He said, because some of the men have gotten discouraged in their dreams. They got busy being dads, and it's overwhelmed them. They've got busy being husbands, and it hasn't turned out like they thought it would be. They're grinding to pay the bills and put food on the table, and they've lost sight of the dreams. Every little kid is a dreamer. I talked to my grandson and my granddaughter. You know, what are you going to be when you grow up? And you give it a few months, it's going to be something else. They got all these great dreams and childlike faith. But somewhere along the way, life just tries to snuff it out. And I want to tell you, dream again. Dream again. Don't let life, don't let the enemy, don't let circumstances snuff out. It's not too late to dream again. Are you familiar with George Foreman? Some of you might know who he is. He was the heavyweight boxing champion. He died just a few months ago. If you don't know him from boxing, you may be familiar with his grills. Your boy loves a George Foreman grill. Amen. I ain't gonna lie. Here's another tip for you. Buy a George Foreman grill. It'll change your life. Amen. But at age 42, George Foreman came out of retirement to box once again in order to support his ministry. Foreman, at that time, he'd gone into ministry. And this is what he said. He said, I decided to go back and challenge the heavyweight champion because I needed money to build more recreation centers for young boys and get them off the streets and out of trouble. That's why he was going to go back to fight. George weighed 350 pounds. He lost weight and got down to 257 pounds. And at the age of 42, here's the only problem with George's dream. He decided to fight Evander Holyfield. If you don't know who Holyfield was, Google him, then you'll see why this is a problem. Evander Holyfield was 28 years old, 215 pounds. 214 pounds of that was pure muscle. Amen. Boxing experts said this about Foreman. They were calling it really just a publicity stunt. They said he will not last one round, much less two rounds. No way that old and slow Joe, that's what they were calling him, or George, could last more than a couple rounds with Holyfield. But on that Friday night, Foreman stepped in the ring, and when the bell rang at the end of the 12th round, George Foreman was still standing on his feet, 42 years old. Amen. He did not win the fight, but as the two fighters embraced in the center of the ring at the end of the fight, the entire crowd in the arena stood up and they gave a standing ovation in appreciation of both boxers and the battle that they had waged. And you know, I think they expected it out of Holyfield, but they were amazed from Foreman. And I said this whole story to say this. I love what he said at the end when he was being interviewed. He said this, I lost the fight, but as long as you're alive, you can still dream. And my message in this room, as long as you're alive, you can still dream. And hear me, some of you men right now, you know who I'm talking to. You lost the fight, but you're still alive. You can still dream. You can still dream. You can still dream of being a good dad. You might have to hit the reset button. It might be trying to be a good dad now to adult children. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but you can still dream the dream. You can still dream the dream of being a good husband. You can still dream the dream of having financial independence. I don't think we don't talk about this enough in the church, amen? We're scared to talk about it. God can bless you and help you. It's not too late to dream that dream. You can still dream a dream of owning your own business, of going back to school. You say, all I got was my GED. That's all right. There are so many ways now. If you want an education, you can still get an education. Some of you, maybe it's dreaming the dream of changing careers or doing something you want. I'm just telling you, I don't know what the end, but I'm just telling you, if you will dream, God will meet you at the point of your dream. And if you will live righteously, He will direct and order your steps. Because your dream may or may not be in accordance with His plan, but you know what? His plan's better than your plan if they're not the same. You just get on the path to His plan. So here's what I want to do. They're going to begin to sing. I want to open up this altar, but first, I want to invite all the dads. And dad, just come right on up front. Squeeze right on up to the front here. I want to invite you to step out of your chair. And I want to, first of all, I want to challenge you to dream dreams for your family. You are the head of your family. I want you to dream dreams that God's going to give you provision you need to meet their needs. That God's going to give you capacity to meet their emotional needs. That God's going to give you wisdom to understand next steps for your children or your grandchildren or your wife. Come on, somebody. You have not because you ask not. I believe that's a dream. God can help you with that. But then behind all these dads, Kim, come on up closer, guys, if you don't mind. Don't worry, I'll try not to spit on you. Amen. But behind these men, I want to open this altar to anybody else, man or woman, it doesn't matter. And you're saying, Pastor, you've been preaching to me today. I've let that dream die, but God, with your help, I want to rekindle that hope. I want you to step out from where you are. I want you to come. We're going to begin to pray. We're going to begin to pray. Man, why don't you lift your hands right now and let's begin to call on God to renew our dreams. Yes. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost here right now. I feel a resurgence of hope right now for some of these men. Come on, you've told yourself so many times it can't happen, but it can happen. It can still come to pass. It can still come to pass. Come on, let's begin to pray together, man. Come on, all over this house. We believe for it, God. We believe you, God. Come on, we believe you, God. We believe you, God. It's not too late. Oh, now for every man in this room, every dream. Every dream that's been dormant, every dream that's been crushed, every dream that's been snuffed out. God, I pray for resurrection power to breathe on our hopes and on our dreams. I pray, Lord, right now, everything that's come against these men, to snuff them out from being what you've called them to be. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Lord, we speak faith. We speak your anointing and we speak belief right now, God. I pray that we would begin to put these steps into place. I pray that every man would dedicate himself completely to you, God. God, that we would reserve time for you, that we could get to know you and you could get to know us, that you could speak to us and you could direct us, that you could order our steps. I pray that we would have godly associations in our lives, that we would surround ourselves with other godly men and other godly people and other godly leaders. People that share our dreams and our path. People that will walk with us and not against us. Lord, I thank you for that right now, God. And I just ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, God, to help us to speak by faith and not by fear. Help us to make our dreams known, Lord. Not out of fear and not out of cockiness, but God, I pray that we can speak it as a faith declaration, believing and knowing that with all things, with you, God, all things are possible. To walk boldly in the Spirit as men of God. I speak for every dad today. Give us wisdom. Give us courage. Give us strength. And also I speak, God, for every person in this room as we close this service that's hurting today, God, on this day. Maybe they lost their father. Maybe they're estranged from their father. Maybe they had an abusive relationship with a father or a stepfather. I pray for healing today. And I ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hey, thanks for watching. Be sure to subscribe to this channel so you never miss one of our videos or live streams in the future. Also, take a moment and share this with a friend. Be sure to join us 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. each week live as we celebrate Jesus together here at Life Church. God bless you.